Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, warm Christian greetings and love from your family in India. It has been a privilege to be here and have fellowship with brethren from all over the globe. I am thankful to our loving Father and His Son for this blessed opportunity to study about our Lord's parable and to relate that to the sowing of the truth and witnessing activities in India. From these words, you might already understand which parable I'm referring to. Yes, you are right. It is the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Our Lord spoke many parables, and seven of them in one chapter, namely Matthew chapter 13. These seven parables link to the seven periods of the church, from the days of the apostles to the current day. These seven parables start from the sowing of seed and continue until the harvest. The first parable is a topic for our meditation today. First, let us read the parable, Matthew 13, 3-9. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The last verse gives us some light on the parable. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The seed represents the message about the kingdom, Matthew 13:19. That was sown among the Jews by our Lord during his first advent. Many heard the message, but those who had ears to hear were the ones who produced the crop. They are the good soil. They are the apostles and disciples who continued sowing the message about the kingdom as directed by our Lord. Matthew 24:14. Sowing truth and witnessing in India. The Jewish age ended when they rejected the message, and the favor was taken away from them and made universal by giving it to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul spread the message in Asia and Europe along with many disciples of Christ. There is not much scriptural record about the works of other apostles and disciples who continued the sowing work. But we understand that the message of kingdom was first sowed around the world by the apostles and continued by the chosen ones throughout the world until today. We are here as a living witness of the same. In India, according to Indian Christian traditions, it is believed that the Apostle Thomas did the great work of sowing the message of kingdom. It is believed that he arrived at a place called Kodungallur, Kerala, and established the seven churches evangelized in present-day Kerala and Tamil Nadu. These are two states in the southern region of our country. We all are from Tamil Nadu. An early 3rd century Syriac work known as the Acts of Thomas connects the tradition of the Apostle Thomas and his Indian ministry with two kings, one in the north, the other in the south. India had a flourishing trade, Central Asia, the Mediterranean area, and the Middle East, both along mountain passes in the north and sea routes along the western and southern coast, well before the start of the Christian era. It's likely that Christian merchants settled in Indian cities along trading routes. There are not many records about Christianity until the early 13th century. It is commonly believed that the Hindus were against Christianity and had hindered its growth. Hindus are the major religion in our country. In the 13th century, missionaries from the French dominion came along with the merchants and reached the west coast of India, mainly in Gujarat and Kerala. In the 16th century, more traders from Europe came to India. And you all know that India was slowly captured by the British. During the British rule, conversion into Christianity was encouraged by giving a lot of benefits. Even people belonging to the higher society also got converted as Christians to get favor and positions in the British government. During these periods, Christianity grew in India, but as you all know, by that time, Christianity was corrupted with false doctrines from pagan religions. Though Christianity entered India, the true gospel was not known to the Indians. Our father had a plan for India, which was done through our dear brother, Charles Taze Russell. In India, the Bible students movement started with only one person whom God selected, sent to America to join with Brother C.T. Russell. That brother later returned to India to spread the gospel. Two youths, namely S.B. Davy and J. Samuel, both were very God-fearing and eager to do God's work, wanted to go to a far country. In 1904, they went to Colombo, Sri Lanka, where they got separated and were not able to find each other. Brother J. Samuel started working in a tea estate in Sri Lanka for his bread. When Brother S.P. Davy was looking for Brother J. Samuel in the port, he met an American sailor who asked him whether he was interested to come to America. By God's guidance, Brother S.P. Davy accepted the invitation and came to America. In America, God prepared a God-fearing family to adopt him as their son and help him to complete a master's degree. Later, he joined Brother Russell, an assistant in his office. There, he was enlightened by the truth through Brother Russell. In 1912, Brother Russell sent him back to India to spread the gospel. On his return to India, Brother S.B. Davy found Brother J. Samuel and witnessed to him a message about the kingdom. Then both of them started sowing the seed in various parts of Tamil Nadu, that is our place, the southern region of our country. With the grace of our God and the hard work of these two brothers, there were many who joined the movement, and the first ever convention took place in the year 1919. The convention has been conducted annually to the present date. Even now, every year, in the second week of May, we are connecting an annual general convention. Some of the brethren who are present here have visited us and helped us and encouraged us to continue the good work and attain our salvation. We glorify our loving Father and His Son Christ for the grace shown to us, their continuous providence to all the brethren in India to take part in this good work. In the early days, the Bible student movement was confined only to the Tamil Nadu and two cities of Karnataka, slowly growing in numbers of brethren. Karnataka is one of the states in our country. I hope some of the brethren from Karnataka has attended 2010 convention in Romania. In the early days, the Bible student movement was continued only in Tamil Nadu, in two cities of Karnataka, slowly growing. During the last 15 years, the movement has spread to other parts of Karnataka and also Andhra Pradesh is also in other states in South India. By many brethren whom God is using wonderfully in this good work. In recent years, the truth is spreading in Mumbai. Mumbai is a place which is called the financial capital of our country. It is a central port and to Punjab, which is a northern part of our country, which is a northern state of India. Now, let us relate the parable with the witnessing work in India. Seeds fell along the path. Verse number four says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. This refers to nominal Christians and other religions. Indian Christians were converted from Hinduism. They still follow the same traditions under different forms. Their heart is like a path where many doctrines pass through, and in the process harden their hearts. The true word of God and the gospel could not penetrate their hearts. Hindus and similar religions such as Sikhism, Jainism, and Buddhism believe that the religion is of ages ago and emerged long before Christianity. They give examples of the number of Americans and Europeans getting converted to Hinduism. They have not done as told by Jeremiah 6:16, NIV version says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. The birds, which are the satanic agents, as in Revelation 18:2, took away the words from their hearts. Our Lord explains to us in verse 18 and 19, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Next we go to the seeds fell on the rocky places. Verse number 5 says, some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. 6 says, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. This refers to the firm believers of Christendom. On the other side, in Christians are mostly comprised of Catholics and Protestants who immediately accepted the gospel. But later on, we're not ready to follow, as the true gospel is not according to their liking. They found that the word of the Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4:2, is difficult to follow, for they have not been rooted in their faith through the scriptures. Even today, when our brethren do the witnessing work, we see a huge gathering in the beginning. We see a huge gathering in the beginning, and slowly it comes down less than 10. We understand that it's because they are not rooted in the teaching the brethren give from the scriptures. It is written in Colossians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7. Hence, when they hear about the trials that we have to go through, they stop coming to the study classes. 1 Timothy 3:12. Our Lord explains to us in verses 20 and 21. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now let us see the next part. Seeds fell on thorns. Verse 7 says, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. This refers to those who are the real truth, not able to run according to the call. This soil is completely different from the above two types of soil. This soil represents the one who understands the true words that comes out of traditions, false beliefs, becomes rooted in the faith. They also grow in faith and character from after they start the walk, spiritual walk of life. But their family ties and love for worldly wealth stops them from fulfilling their vows to God. These people find it difficult to spare time for spiritual studies and fellowship, whereas they can find time for family gatherings, office gatherings, and social gatherings. The real hindrance is in their heart, which loves the world. 1 John 2:15-16. This includes teachers who are looking after the masses for their own fame. They compromise on many spiritual requirements so that they have more followers for themselves. Our Lord explains to us in verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The next part, seeds fell on good soil. Verse number 8 reads, still other seed fell in good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. This refers to those who are sound in doctrine and able to bear fruit. These are the ones who accept and understand the real meaning of their call and are able to partake in God's work. They bear fruit according to the talents they have received. The soil is yielding 160 or 30 times. This means the results may vary according to the talents given to them. This reminds us to yield as much as possible and that we need not compare our fruitage with others. Our Lord explains to us in verse 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And finally, the concluding verse, we can divide the four soils into two classes. First type of soil represents people who do not understand or accept the truth. This refers to the people of the world in general, including Christendom. They will not accept the word God and also will disturb God's people in the sowing and harvesting work. This is also a test the little flock should overcome. The second type of soil represents people who understand and accept the word of God. The main difference between the third and fourth soils is fruit bearing. James 3:13. Brethren should be careful about this soil, as it appears like good soil. It appears like a good soil, but will mislead and divert the brethren from bearing fruit. We have to identify which one is good soil and which one is soil with thorns. Here, in the third and fourth type, the soil represents us. The main difference between these soils is the thorns, and the crops could not overcome those thorns. To overcome thorns before sowing, we have to remove the thorns, such as selfishness, worldly desires, egos, and fear. We have to do a self-examination of ourselves, whether we have thorns like worldly wishes, worldly ties, and family ties, or whether we are after fame and praises. The key is find the will of God. That will remove the thorns and make us a good soil which can bear fruit. To find God's will, we have to understand God's will. To renew ourselves, we must have ears to hear. Matthew 13:9. Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let us pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Christ Jesus to help us to work towards understanding the good, pleasing, and perfect will of our Father, and be acceptable in the eyes of our Heavenly Father with Christ-like character. Once again, we thank our loving Father and Jesus Christ and all the brethren who gave me an opportunity to be here. Thank you. God be with you all. Amen.